celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Hey everybody, this is Susan Sims for Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. Now, many listeners might have flown their pets in cargo or considered this option when relocating or for a vacation. My first guest, John McGee with Fly Pets, is here to give us insight into this industry. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, what is Fly Pets? How long have you been in business?
We've been shipping pets since 1976, almost 37 years.
Wow, that's the age of my youngest son.
Long time.
My oldest son was one of them. What sparked your interest in transporting our pets?
Actually, when I was going through college many years ago, I used to sell birds, and I'd advertise them in various trade magazines and had to get them to my customers, and here it is over 30 years later, and all I do is eat, sleep, and think about shipping people's pets for them.
Oh, well, that is a huge task to take on. What type of animals do you work with?
Mostly we do dogs and cats, but we also ship lots of birds, reptiles, exotics, zoo animals.
I can imagine since 1976 you might have a few anecdotes or memorable experiences that you could share with us.
Well, I'll tell you, every shipment is really unique, but some of the ones I get the most pleasure out of is every so often somebody loses their pet when they're on vacation or out of town visiting someone, and then all of a sudden some stranger finds their pets and they track down who the owner is and we're able to get their pet back them, you know, all the way across the country after they thought it may be gone forever.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. And how else would they be able to do that, right?
That's correct.
Now, you must work with a lot of airports then. I don't know what's involved in this. That's not my industry. So if I say I live in Boise, Idaho, and I wanted to move to Alaska, or scratch that, let's just go to Hawaii. I'm going to go to Hawaii.
Okay.
Kind of walk me through what would I be looking at as far as this process?
Well, first of all, if you're going to Hawaii, that's a lot different than shipping to many other states because Hawaii has a quarantine system that any pets going in there do have to go through. So, of course, that's going to require a lot more paperwork on your behalf. If you're shipping anywhere else, it normally doesn't have to go through that amount of paperwork. So let's pick another airport somewhere other than going to Hawaii.
Okay, yeah. Hawaii was just my destination if I was going to move, and that was where I was going to live forever and ever, and I'd have to put up with all that nonsense. So, okay, I'm going to go to Florida.
Okay. Well, first of all, you'd want to ship your pet to Florida. You'd get a hold of a professional pet shipper like Pet Air. Give them an idea of what you want to do, when you want to do it, what breed you have, and then the shipping company is going to go through with you various flight options of what you should do to prepare your pet for shipping. There's a lot of helpful hints that a pet shipper can give you. We'll line up the various flight options for you, tell you how to get your pet really comfortable with being in his kennel. Our company would send you your airline ticket for your pet, and you would take them to the airport and ship them off and pick them up on the other end. Our company also can make arrangements for picking up your pet at your house and taking it to the airport for you. Or once it gets to the airport in Florida, we could pick your pet up and deliver it to your home.
Wow, that's full service.
We're full service. We can do about anything you need.
So how many airports do you actually work with? And if you're not in, if your airport, say, isn't within that realm, would you pick the pets up then at that point and take them to the closest airport?
We ship in and out of over 150 airports within the United States using various airlines that we've used for years shipping pets.
So we're pretty close to being sure that we'd find an airport locally that we would be able to use.
Absolutely.
Well, that's really wonderful. I think probably my last question would be to take the fear out of flying for people. What kind of advice would you give them? Because I know we flew Junior one time from Boise to Los Angeles, and he was only 6 months old. We had him in cargo, and we were just a nervous wreck. And by the time we ended up in L.A. with many changes, things that weren't supposed to happen, he just came out wagging his tail. And I know we were probably more upset about it than he was. So what kind of advice could you give the first-time pet parent who's going to have to ship their pet?
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head. Usually the clients, the human side of it, are a lot more nervous than the pets are. As far as preparing your pets, the best thing to do is plan early. Talk to a professional pet shipping company. Oftentimes they may say, if you drive 50 miles further down the road, we may be able to get you a better flight. We may be able to get you on your pet on a direct nonstop flight. You talk to a pet professional, they'll give you all these helpful hints. Another important thing is get your pet comfortable with the kennel that he's going to be shipped in. Let him sleep in there at night, put one of his favorite toys in there or blanket or something that he's used to. So on the last day, you're just not putting your pet in his kennel and taking him to the airport, and he has no idea of what's going on. So the best thing to do is plan early, talk with a pet shipping professional, and get your pet used to the kennel he's going to be in.
Well, John, that is great advice, and I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thanks so much for calling.
For more information, log on to flypets.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will visit with a vegan model who is also a rescue advocate. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Dog owners, 80% of our paw-chewing, itchy, and gunky-eared dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do. Make the serious business of fighting allergies goo-licious fun with sublingual doggy goo. Doggy Goo is a dermatologist-approved, 100% natural, peanut butter tasty treat for your dog. That's Doggy Goo. Lick it up at doggygoo.com or call 855-246-2426.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims for Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is brought to you by our good friends at The Honest Kitchen, where dehydrated, raw pet foods offer a way to create fresh, natural meals for your pet in the comfort of your home. My next guest, Emily Nolan, has hit the vegan blog world by storm with her blog, My Kind of Life. She is a model and newlywed and proud parent of rescue dog Spunky. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Congratulations on your marriage.
Thank you. It's been 1 month.
Wow.
I've ever been married.
Well, I think congratulations.
Thank you.
So, tell us about your blog, My Kind of Life. Now, I when I read it, I look at it, obviously, kind to me means kindness to animals. So you can read it, My Kind of Life. And so how tell us how this happened and how you won an award for this blog.
Right. Well, that's how I picked the name, was the play on word of My Kind of Life and how it's about a kind journey and a compassionate lifestyle choice that I've made. So I also am a professional model, and so I write about my journey as a model and in the fashion side of it, but I also chose this compassionate lifestyle really because of my experience with the root of who I am, and that's a compassionate animal lover, and of course my dogs have made a big influence on me. So I write about fashion, food of course, and beauty and fitness, and I'm always posting pictures of my dog Spunky all over my social media page. He's my little rescue dog.
Oh, he's adorable. And before we talk about Spunky some more, I wanted to have you talk to us about how you kind of shot to the top of the charts with this vegan blog. I mean, were you amazed by that?
I was really amazed. I think it's because I'm not sure I can pinpoint why it just became like such a hot blog so quickly, but I do think that because I open up about an eating disorder that I had and how I used to always follow diets that would say, you know, you need a certain amount of protein on your plate and you need to eat, you know, dairy or meat. And then as soon as I connected with who I was, which is really that compassionate animal lover, and started to eat a compassionate diet or a vegan diet, as some people would say, I cured an eating disorder that I'd had for years and blossomed into a model, a professional model that I'm very confident with my choices and my food. And so it's all blossomed from, I guess, me just being open to my readers, and I think also being a model and out in front of a lot of people all the time. And I've just had a lot of publicity with Elle Canada, and I think it just picked up from there.
Well, so I have to ask this question. So is your newlywed husband of 1 month, is he also a vegan?
He definitely supports a vegan lifestyle. If he lives with me, he has to support it. But you may catch him eating a tuna sandwich every now and then, but he's pretty much vegan.
Well, we won't throw him. We won't throw him back to the sharks or to the wolves,
yeah,
but just for that. But I imagine, you know, it's probably something too that you feel so strongly about when people talk to you about it and they think, how can I, you know, I'd like to embrace this lifestyle. What would you like people to know about that lifestyle and the choice of going vegan? How you kind of shared on how it affected your life, but for people that are considering it and they always have reasons why they don't want to.
Right. I think that's a great question, first of all, because we all face that decision-making process of, is it even possible? My life is so busy. It's so hard to be a vegan. And I hear that all the time. And it's so easy to be a vegan, actually, because all you need is rice and beans and you're good to go. But if you're like me and you're not on the rice and beans plan, it's still an easy decision to make. And I would say, first and foremost, the decision needs to come from your authentic self. And, you need to be committed and, you know, and be open to making mistakes, because it is a journey and no one is perfect. I think so many people get lost in that, oh, I messed up and, you know, like, does this have dairy in it? And they get so mad, and it's a learning and a teaching process. So use the opportunity to learn yourself and also to educate others, but do it in a way that, like for me, I find my most influential way to encourage people to live a more compassionate lifestyle, whether it's eating plant-based food or not purchasing fur and like trying to like think of leather as an animal as opposed to like a fashion piece that they really need. I do it by example. So that would be my key, is if you're going to make the decision, lead by example and try not to overwhelm your spouse or whoever you're living with or your friends, because they'll get a little fed up with hearing about your new decisions. As
yes,
with any diet, though, it's not just being vegan, but I feel like some people take that to an extreme and they think that we're all crazy, but yeah,
just
you
bit.
Understand.
Just a little bit. So
I'm sure a lot of people understand that. I think education is a big key, is just keep reading about it, really listen to your body, listen to yourself. I used to take so many supplements when I became a vegan, and I've stopped taking every supplement. I don't even take a B12 anymore. I know that's against, like, the vegan holy grail.
Right.
When I graduated from Cornell in plant-based nutrition, I learned a lot with T. Colin Campbell, and he does a lot of studies with vitamins and minerals and supplements, and his latest book, Whole, talks a lot about that as well. So I'm okay without vitamins. I've been fine. So I just would say listen to your body.
I think that's good advice, and I think that for people, if they are really considering this type of lifestyle, that, you know, just like you said, don't beat yourself up about it, but, you know, take it a day at a time, and every day is a different journey. But I want to talk about your rescue dogs, Spunky.
Yay!
And
I want to talk about them, too.
How did this come about? And I love the name.
Yeah, well, the name was actually Spunkmeister when we rescued him, and we were like, oh, Lord, we have to shorten his name. It was a bit too much for us. So he ended up with the name Spunky. I was living with my husband at the time. He was my boyfriend, and I've always, always, always had a rescue dog growing up, and I've never lived without a dog. And when I moved to Miami from Washington, D.C., I couldn't have a dog because I lived in an apartment building. It was a short-term lease, and I had to leave my dog with my mom. So as soon as I got an apartment where I could have a dog, I was so excited to rescue a new dog. So Matt and I went to this 24-hour adopt-a-thon in Miami, and we waited in line at midnight. And the line was so long. It took us an hour and a half to 2 hours just to see the dogs. It was great.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so exciting. It had live music and food vendors. It was really a neat event. And then as soon as we got there, there were no dogs left. So we were really bummed. And so we ended up, and it's an event where all the shelters in Miami bring all the dogs and cats together, and they ring the bell, and they adopt a dog. It's really an exciting event. Every year they do it in Miami. So they did it for 24 hours. We went home. We were bummed. And then we ended up wanting to go to a movie that night. And I said, you know, let's just go back and check one more time. Well, we went back. The line was much shorter. And we walked in, and they were bringing more dogs in because they had run out of animals that they have adopted, so many that they were, like, desperate. So they started bringing all the animals out that were on the euthanasia list. And Spunky came in a cage, adorable as ever. And, you know, we just took him out, and the first thing that he did was pee in the grass. And my husband went crazy and said, this is the perfect dog. He's potty trained. He's like, all right, good. As long as you like this dog, I'm happy that we can rescue him. And so we ended up, he put his paw in Matt's hand, and it was just really like melting your heart. And we took him home, and he was potty trained, and everything was perfect. He had an affinity for eating my shoes, and that wasn't as perfect, but he's so great. He has the biggest ears, and he's just wonderful.
So I know you can see Spunky on your website, but how would you describe him? What does he look like?
Well, he looks like a dingo. he looks like a dingo mixed with a basset hound, mixed with a corgi. I would say more corgi. He's about 38 pounds, and he's white and a little yellow. He's just really cute. He looks
sounds adorable.
Maybe. We're not sure.
He's like a Heinz 57. I think
He is. Yeah. He's sitting right next to me saying, why are you describing me? I'm not a Heinz 57. I'm perfect.
You know, he is perfect. And does Spunky support your vegan lifestyle, too?
Yeah, well, we actually have him eating a food called V-Dog. I don't know if you're familiar with V-Dog, but it's a plant-based dog food. And there's been studies that dogs can actually, their stomachs, and the digestive system for dogs has changed where they can digest plant-based foods and they don't require meat. I think cats are a little different now, and I'm not as well educated on the cats, like cat food and what they require, just because I've always had dogs. But, they can live off of plant-based food. So Matt will bring home a certain bone every now and then, but we have him on V-Dog, and he eats street food. Whenever we walk him, he'll pick up a pizza on the side of the road or something. But that's pretty much what he eats.
That's roadkill for dogs, is someone's leftover pizza.
He was a total street dog when we got him. So he's so used to going after, like, all the – in Miami, there's so there's a lot of homeless people, and they leave their food on the side of the street. It's really sad, but – Spunky loves it, so he goes and tries to grab all the food that they leave, and he always finds something good.
Yeah, he's adorable, and you are truly an inspiration, and really you're a role model for a lot of people that are looking at, you know, different issues that they may have, you know, regarding.
Thank you.
And yeah, I want to wish you continued success, and thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you so much.
For more information, log on to mykindoflife.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll find out about a very cool fundraising site. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Is your itchy dog allergy sad? Dog owners, 80% of our paw-chewing, itchy, and gunky-eared dogs suffer from the same pollen, dust mite, and mold allergies that we do. Make the serious business of fighting allergies goo-licious fun with sublingual doggy goo. Doggy goo is a dermatologist-approved, 100% natural, peanut butter tasty treat for your dog. That's doggy goo. Lick it up at doggygoo.com or call 855-246-2426.
Hey, this is Ashley Bell, official spokesperson for the 5th Annual Life-Saving Tour, Get Your Licks on Route 66. The tour travels from L.A. to Chicago, stopping at shelters along the way to support adoption. Get Your Licks on Route 66 kicks off in Los Angeles on September 14th and ends in Chicago on October 19th. Check out phytofriendly.com and see where the tour stops near you. You might just find your new forever friend.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims for Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. Now, if you're like me and you do a lot of internet surfing, and you'll learn that there's a lot of opportunities for folks to raise monies for animal welfare. And my next guest, Dusty Lynn Welsh with the Simple Dog Project, is here to talk to us about how we can all get involved. Hi, Dusty. Welcome to the show.
Yes, hello. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. So tell us, what is the Simple Dog Project and who does it benefit?
The Simple Dog Project is an online fundraiser program, and we actually work with over 250 different pet welfare organizations across the country and also internationally.
I was looking at that, and one of the things that's really unique is that you have these wonderful stickers that you're selling online to help in this fundraising effort. So what type of stickers are those?
Yes, we actually sell a collection of bumper sticker and magnet bones, and they all promote pet rescue and adoption and rescued dogs. And we actually get to donate a full $5 from every bumper sticker sold to different pet rescue groups. And so far, we've raised over $32,000 for nonprofit agencies here in the U.S., Canada, and abroad.
That's amazing. So how did you come up with the idea? When did you actually start?
Well, the program started in 2010, and it was actually started to raise awareness for puppy mill rescue. And, the puppy mill rescue is that become very big here in the United States, and a lot of dogs sold in pet stores actually come from commercial breeding mills. And, of course, the dogs aren't treated very well, and the health of the puppies, they're not very healthy either. And so we had a bumper sticker fundraiser to raise awareness, and by the end of the week, we had over 35 rescue groups signing up to receive donations from the program, and since then, we've just grown to over 250 organizations.
Wow. So just from that one idea, then this whole organization took place. So what are some of the different organizations that you've actually been able to help raise funds for?
Well, we raise funds for pet rescue and adoption. For example, pit bull rescue is one of our number one type of rescue we work with, and we've raised over $7,000 just for pit bull rescues. And we also do work with service dogs for veterans, different spay and neuter programs. And, for example, we're doing a fundraiser this week for the Beagle Freedom Project. And they're an international group, and they actually help to save beagles used in laboratory testing, and they find the retired dogs a loving forever home.
Oh, all those organizations are certainly, you know, worthy of people looking into your website, simpledog.org, and they can determine, you know, where they want to pledge their monies, and then they get the fun bumper stickers. And for people that are listening and they would like to think of doing something like this. What are qualifications for someone seeking to partner with the Simple Dog Project?
Sure. Well, we work with nonprofit welfare organizations, but we also work with pet pantries to provide food to neighborhoods where there might not have money to buy food. We work with spay and neuter programs as well. And so basically any nonprofit organization that helps people and benefits pets is able to sign up to participate in our program. And also we're doing a fundraiser for your Get Your Licks on Route 66 pet adoption tour this week as well on our website.
You know, I have to tell you that this has been a lot of fun for us because in our fifth year, we hadn't considered doing any kind of fundraising before, and we started looking around at the different social media campaigns, and that's how I actually found you. And you've been so helpful on what helps to make a great campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What can the person, like how we worked on Get Your Licks on Route 66, what can a person do on their end to help make this successful?
Right. Well, definitely our fundraisers are done online, and so they're really run through social media, and we have a lot of social media integration through our program. And so the charities that raise the most, they generate buzz for their different work that they're doing through social media. They also have a great cause, great supporters, and of course the diehard dog and cat lovers who make the donations on our website make it all possible.
Well, I'm just really thrilled to be able to partner with you for Get Your Licks on Route 66. And I want to thank you for all that you do for all the animals out there. That's truly amazing. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Well, thank you. And we'll talk to you later.
For more information, log on to simpledog.org. That's it for Fido Friendly Travel Talk. For more information about today's show or about traveling with Fido, pick up a copy of Fido Friendly Magazine at Barnes & Noble's, Hastings, or log on to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe online. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at AnimalRadio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio Network.